Be seated. It's good to be here tonight. Feel the presence of the Lord, to know that Jesus is with us. And one of the main things of my heart that I'm glad about is that I am concerned about Him. Concerned about Him. So many people are not concerned about Him. But you know, in the coming judgment, we're going to want Him to be concerned about us. But yet we're concerned about everything but Him. We're concerned about eating and drinking and riding and buying, selling. We're concerned about our education, our career. We're concerned about our family, our relatives. We're concerned about all the many multiplied things. But we're not concerned about Him. And really the main thing is Him. We've been, for quite a little while, we've been exhorting the brethren and talking to them about some revelation. We've been bringing, by the help of the Lord, in His interest, of course, we've been bringing hours and hours of conversation or whatever concerning Christ and the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. It's been hours and hours of it for days. And even here at the place, we have brought out some revelation, a sermon or so. I'd like for a woman to get rid of her wrong spirit before I even get started tonight. Lady, you're in the wrong spirit. God told you to come in here with thanksgiving and with praise. And you come in here with an attitude like that, you don't know what you're doing. I don't say that to hurt you, but I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, you don't know what you're doing. You'd better back off from that, and you better get off of that in a hurry. I don't like to scold you. I like to come in here and love you and talk to you. But the thing is so strong and so bad till it's dark. It's darkening part of the church. It's falling over part of the church, darkening part of the audience in the sense of your evil attitude. You better do something about that. It's bad enough to have it in your heart, let alone to bring it in God's house. Okay, that's up to you. You do what you will, but I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, I done warned you about it. And I'm telling you, and the Bible said that God will pluck out of His kingdom everything that offends. And you be offensive and you cause problems, and God will just pluck you right out. Won't be no problem with you because He'll pluck you out. First news you know, God will prepare your heart to leave the campground or to leave the people of God to go out into the world. You'll have a desire to just burn like fire that you just want to get away and go your way. And then when God gets you out there, He'll turn the fires of judgment loose on you like He never had. He'll ease you on out a lot of times to keep from turning it loose right in the midst of His people. But you keep on and He's going to do it. Now you watch and see that I'll see it come to pass if you keep on. Well, I've been exhorting the brethren quite a bit, talking to them about first one thing and then the other. And here we are in the church again tonight. And I thought maybe I might take a little time tonight just to talk to them, just exhort them on some personal basis about the office work and outreach and different things. And somebody said, well, why do you do that? What you need to do is just talk about the Bible. That is the Bible. Any man that's got a business, what he does, he gets his people together and he talks to them about his business. And this is my business. So I'm here to talk to you about my business. This is my business. And this business is the Father's business. There's a man here too. He's having problems tonight. He's having problems. He's one of our leaders. He's having problems. There was a man a little earlier, before I got here, we was exhorting, and the man was having great problems because he was getting kind of bitter, knowing that he hadn't done what he was supposed to do, and seeing the things slip out from under him, it was making him bitter. But yet, you've been told and been told and been told, and the other man has seen something slip out from under him, and it gives him a tendency to want to resent me. But I can't help it. Appreciate one brother here. He's let something slip out from under him, and at least he's not resenting me. He has taken it kind of in stride, as we say, realizing that he was told and told and wouldn't do his job, and it left him. And he's taking it in a real good spirit in the sense of resenting me. Nevertheless, the other feller isn't. There's been quite a number of positions that slipped out from under people as of late. It's almost shocking to them. They can't hardly realize that it's just happened just like that. And they just couldn't believe it was going to happen, and it just happened so quick that they can't hardly get themselves together. You know, but I keep telling you this over and over. You know, the Lord said, Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thou, thou shalt surely die, like that. But see, the death didn't show up until many years later. They died right then because the Lord's word was withdrawn. But nevertheless, see, it was a number of years later before that thing showed up. And it's the same way. It's just beginning to dawn on these people what has happened. And they're getting all tore up over it. But I can't help it, folks. I tried to work with you, and I'll still work with you. If you come and repent and let me know that you're going to do something. But I just don't have time to keep on and keep on year after year and whatever with foolishness. I just don't have time to do it. You know, and tonight, I'll probably be talking to you along those lines. Now then, as I said, I want to talk to you just a few minutes about, you know, the things of the Lord. In the book of Psalms, in the 57th chapter, it says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Salah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Salah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psalter in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I want you to notice here, David used the terms, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing thy praise. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing thy praise. Now, as I said, I want to talk with you for just a few minutes. I want to talk with you. David said, my heart is fixed. On one occasion, David said, evil tidings shall not trouble me. They shall not trouble me because my heart is fixed. When a person's heart is fixed, evil tidings will not trouble them because their heart is fixed. If my heart is not fixed, then anything can trouble me. But if my heart is fixed, evil tidings will not trouble me. It does not mean that I will not be concerned. I am concerned about all things. I am concerned. I'm concerned about your welfare. I'm concerned about my welfare. I'm concerned about my family's welfare. I'm concerned about the kingdom of God and these wonderful things. I am concerned. The reason I am concerned is because God has dealt with me, and God has placed within me a concern. So therefore, I have a concern. I am concerned. A wise man is concerned. He's concerned about all things. He's concerned about whatever pertaineth to him. He is concerned because he is a wise man. I am concerned about my bills. I want to pay my bills, my just and honest debts. I'm concerned about your attitudes. I'm concerned. Now, I'm not concerned about my bills in the sense that I'm going to leave God. I'm trusting God to take care of my bills if I do my best. I'm not concerned about your attitude to the extent that I'm going to try to please you and leave the Word of God. Because I believe if I preach the Word and do the right things, if you're the right people, you'll follow me and listen to me. See, and I'm concerned, you know, about keeping you too long when I preach to you. Because I know you have duties, and I know you have to get up, and I know you have to work, and I know that all of these things is necessary in life, and I'm concerned. But I'm not concerned to the extent that I'm going to run through the message and shorten the services and just do any old way just so that you can get to where you're going or so that you'll be happy with me. I'm not concerned in such a way that you might look at your watch and keep looking at me and look at your watch and that's going to cause me to close the services. I'm not concerned in that way. See, I'm concerned in a godly way because a wise man is concerned. And a wise man look at the world who is going. I'm concerned about all things. I'm concerned about the welfare of your little children. As a matter of fact, over the night last night, Brother Johnny tapped on the door. He and Stevie was on security. And they tapped on the door and I went to the door. And there was the Floyds. Sister Floyd's son, I guess it was, with a little one in his arm. And he came in and something had happened to the little one during the night. And the granddaddy had got alarmed, and here the boy came, and he was alarmed. And I came to the door, and I prayed for the little one, because I was concerned. When they came up, I was already praying. I was already on my knees talking to God. God already had me prepared for the occasion. And when I went to the door, I prayed for the little one, and I felt God heal the little one and touch the little one. And I felt a real move of God. I tell you what, I felt it in such a way that even the boy that had the babe, you could tell he was really touched. It really touched him. He felt the moving of the Spirit of God. And I did that because I was concerned. I prayed with all of my heart because I was concerned. See, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about those that are in prison. I'm concerned about those that are lost and undone without salvation throughout the world. I'm concerned about the hungry and the poor. I'm concerned about the president and the senators and the sheriff and the law. I'm concerned about our neighbors. I'm concerned about the people of Bethlehem. I'm concerned about you getting the right understanding and your children having the right kind of future and getting the right kind of education. I'm concerned about the missionaries around the world. I'm concerned about Brother Al Gonzalez down there where he's at, and Brother Carnes over yonder. And I'm concerned about the people down at the boat and the plane and all. On and on and on, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the future. I'm concerned about these things. But above all of this concern, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I'm concerned, but my heart is fixed. David said, "My heart is fixed, and evil tidings shall not trouble me." I am concerned, but my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed in one way. In what way is my heart fixed? My heart is fixed to think about Jesus. My heart is fixed to want to pray. My heart is fixed to want to fast. My heart is fixed to want to evangelize the world. My heart is fixed that I might come here and tell you about the wonderful things of God. My heart is fixed to want to do what's right, to pay my bills. My heart is fixed to do all of these things that I might be a light to them that are without as well as them that are within. My heart is fixed. In what way is my heart fixed? My heart is fixed in the Word of God. My heart is fixed in the promises of God. My heart is fixed in faith and confidence in God's way and God's promises. My heart is fixed. I prayed and I sought the Word of God down through the years. And constantly I took the Word of God that I might have my heart fixed. I want my heart fixed. I don't want evil tidings to trouble me. I don't want dreams to trouble me. I don't want visions to trouble me. I don't want prophecies to trouble me. I don't want what people say to trouble me. I don't want people's faces to trouble me. I don't want their attitudes to trouble me. I don't want what they do to trouble me. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed in God. My heart is fixed to do what God wants, to think what God wants to think, to be what God wants to be. My heart is fixed. Like Brother Taylor was saying tonight, I talk about Jesus always because that is my heart. I think about Jesus always because that is my heart. I think about the wonderful things of God because that is my heart. My heart is fixed. So then David said, my heart is fixed. And because my heart is fixed, evil tidings shall not trouble me. Though I might hear all kind of things through dreams and visions and prophecies and words and people losing their temper and people getting upset and whispering and backbiting and all of these kind of things, I may read in the paper about the devastating blows that crush people and tear up places throughout the nation or throughout the world, but my heart is fixed. It doesn't trouble me. I may get this kind of report and that kind of report, and I'm greatly concerned. But deep down in my heart is fixed with God. It doesn't trouble me because I know God is having His way in everything. I may get hurt. I may get grieved. I may be crushed, but my heart is fixed. Always, through all of these things, my heart is fixed. Giving praise and glory and honor, David said to God. My heart is fixed in praising God and loving God. My heart is fixed. If I have a problem with my family, a problem with my children, a problem with my wife, a problem with my health, a problem with my creditors, a problem with the church, a problem with the brethren, my heart is fixed. During all of this time, my heart is still fixed. Though we have many interruptions, Brother Taylor being one of the most intimate workers that I have here in the gospel, Brother Taylor, a lot of times I share things with him, and Brother Taylor knows that never at any time, with all of the crushing impacts, have I ever at any time alarmed Brother Taylor in any way as to saying that God couldn't do it or God wouldn't do it or that something was going to happen we couldn't handle. Always God, having my heart fixed, solely trusting in God and believing that God was able and believing that God would do it, I rest in the love of God. I rest in the everlasting mercies of God. And I rest in the things of God because my heart is fixed. So then tonight, my heart is fixed. I was exhorting the brethren a little bit before we came to church. I had gone down, hadn't been out today until late over in the evening, and I'd gone down to the multipurpose building. And when I got there, there was only one. That was Jim. He was sitting there reading something out of Dr. Douglas's book. And Jim was really stirred. I could tell he was stirred. He was reading about those hungry children. And this miraculous man called Dr. Douglas, they call him the father of a million or millions, doing something for the foreign fields, and Jim's heart was stirred. And I could tell when Jim spoke to me about that, after that I answered him that we were helping Dr. Douglas, it done something to his heart. Because I could tell his heart was crying out. You know, here's all of these people that need some help. And then all of a sudden when he learned that he himself was already doing something through Dr. Douglas for these children, it really blessed his heart and soul. I could just pick it up in the spirit. I could just tell that it really made him feel better and feel so good. So then here Jim's heart was troubled. Now, I was talking to the brethren tonight, and I told the brethren something like this. I said, brethren, if this thing that we're doing at Bethlehem is not in your heart, then you are of no value to me. If this thing at Bethlehem is not doing that, you don't belong at Bethlehem. You don't need to be at Bethlehem. You say, well, where do I need to be, Brother Pike? You need to be with somebody where your heart will burn. The Bible said when Jesus talked to them, by the way, did not our hearts burn within us? As He unveiled to open the Scriptures to us, if your heart isn't burning in a flame at Bethlehem, you need to be with some other preacher. You need to be with some other person. You need to be with somebody that can set your heart on fire, cause your heart to flame up, to cause your heart to burn. You need to be with that person. If this thing at Bethlehem isn't in your heart, and you can't find another person, then you need to be back out into the world because you are a bonds child and you have no lot and a part in the matter, so there's no need to make yourself miserable. There's no need for you to come to church. There's no need for you to make yourself miserable year after year if you don't have any desire for God and any hunger for God and any thirst for God and no interest in the things of God. No need for you to come to church and make yourself miserable. It's like Jesus, when He chose the 12, He chose one that was a devil. He didn't have any interest in God. He didn't want the things of God. He didn't care about the things of God. And all he did was make himself miserable and make the others miserable because his desire was out into the world. See, if your heart is burning in you for the things of the world, you need to be with the world. If you're hungering and thirsting after the things of the world, you need to be with the world. You need to enjoy sin for a season. The Bible said, make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you, because you have no part and a lot in this matter. See, and I was trying to tell the brethren down there tonight, I don't need them if their interest is not in Bethlehem or in world evangelism or in the Word of God or the things of God. I don't need them. They need to be somewhere else. They need to be doing something else. Because this right here needs your heart. It must have your heart. And if you love God, and if you are a son of God, and if you're called for the things of God, your heart will burn like a flame on the inside of you. This thing that we're doing right here, if you're called to it and you're a son of God, inside of your heart, there will be such a flame till your business, no matter what your business is, your business will mean exactly nothing to you. Your job will mean exactly nothing to you. Your family will mean exactly nothing to you. Your wife, your children, your relatives, your friends, your ambition, all of the zeal of the world will mean absolutely nothing to you. If you really have this in your heart, that is to say, all of that will be secondary. This will be the preeminence. This will be the thing that's gnawing at your heart. This will be the thing that's highlighted in your life. This will be your desire above your wife, above your baby, above your family, above your money, above your prestige, above your ambition, above everything. This will be it. It's been put to the test. In the life of Abraham, it was far greater than the love for his son, so he offered his son at the altar. God, with this great love, it was far greater than it was for the natural being, and he smote his own son at Calvary and laid him down to rest in the grave. The Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. He did that for this. He did that for this because it was so great. The Bible said that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Now, so then, if there's anything from wife to children to ambition to business, whatever, you are a bonds child. You are a bonds woman. You are not a free child. You're not a free woman. You're not a son of God. You're not a daughter of God. You are a bonds child. Because there's something in your heart that has the preeminence above that which is godly. Therefore, you are not a son of God and you are not a daughter of God. You are a bonds child. You are still bound to the beggarly elements of this world and to the desires of this world and to the things of this world and to the flesh of this world, whether it be your own flesh or your children's flesh or your wife's flesh or whether it be materialistic values in the world. You're still bound to them. And your heart's desire and your ambition and your chief desire is to be part of the world, to have the convenience of the world, to have the things of the world, to excel in the world. Therefore, you are a bonds child. A true child of God, a real daughter of the Lord, a real son of God. There is not one thing in the world, not one thing that can capture his interest above the interest in God. If your interest is nothing but to run up and down the road and try to manifest your ministry, going up and down the road to try to do your thing, you are still a bonds child. If your interest is just to sit around, as I said tonight, down at the multipurpose building, just to sit around and read and read and read and learn and read and learn and read and learn. Even if it's the Bible, you're still a bonds child. Because that's no good to God. Those things are no good to God. Paul did all of that. He was a great scholar. See, and he was studying the Bible concerning the law. He was blameless, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But see, Paul knew that that wasn't the answer when he came in touch with Christ. If your ambition is to have a home or whatever, see, that's wrong. You should have one chief desire, and that is to be about the Father's business. That is to do the things that the Father wants you to do. Your chief desire in the morning, your chief desire through the night, your chief desire in conversation, your chief desire in your ambition, when you're wanting to set up a business or do a job or whatever. If you're not laboring, if you're not laboring to give, if you're not laboring for the cause of God, if your business is because you want to excel in the world and have a business and this kind of thing, you are a bonds child. If your business, if you have a business, it should be for one thing, and that is to try to aid God, try to aid the cause of God, and try to labor to give or something to work to make your living so that you can put your time in God. Your whole heart, your whole desire, your whole ambition, all of it should be for God. Every bit of it should be for God. If it's not, then you are a bonds child. You say, well, I can't believe that. Well, I'm telling you the truth. You do what you will with it. It's my job to tell you. You are a bonds child. But a person that has a preeminent desire above all other desires, and that desire being to serve God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to make money for Christ in a business, to get understanding from God and for God's cause, a person having that kind of desire to utilize their ability to do something for God is a Christian. That is a son of God. That is a daughter of God. If you've got a talent and you're not utilizing that ability and talent for God, you are a bonds child. Your talents, your skills, your abilities, everything that you are should be in God. To meditate in His laws day and night. To be about the Father's business. Your conversation to be in heaven. All of your efforts to be toward the kingdom of God. To bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you say should be built around Christ and centered around Christ, and every desire that you have should be around the Lord Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you don't think that I ought to have a desire to want to hug my wife, to kiss my husband, to put my arms around my baby, to buy me a new car, or to have a home or whatever? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Anything that is covered by the Word of God and within the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with studying, there's nothing wrong with praying, there's nothing wrong with fasting, there's nothing wrong with going to church, there's nothing wrong with building a house, there's nothing wrong with these things. As long as these things are governed and controlled by the Word of God, and as long as these things contribute to the Word of God, but the devil is a cunning power. He will make you think that you're doing something for God when you're doing nothing for God. And you're just selfish and gullible doing your own thing. And you're using for a hobby horse whatever you're doing as an excuse in that you're not doing anything for God. And those things are nothing in the sight of God. Your learning, your business, whatever. Your brilliance. See, in these offices, if these offices cannot take your whole heart in the preeminence that you want to be there every day and doing something for God every day, then you are a bonds child. You don't have any business in that office. You are in the wrong place. If you're not a bonds child, then you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong calling. You need to get in something that your interest is in and in God, because you are a bonds child. These businesses are not just one day of the week, or 2 days of the week, or 3 days of the week, or once a month. These businesses are not like that. These offices are not like that. There's 4 billion people in the world, as it is said. And our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And do you realize that with all the days and years that God gives me and gives you, and all of them put together, that it's not sufficient for that unless we're diligent and God anoints it? We don't have any time to go out there and mess around to get an education, to build a business, or to have prestige, or to build a home, or to lay up money, all these kind of things. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm doing all of that so that I can do something for God. You know better than that. You're supposed to do something for God that God may do all of that for you. The Bible said you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will add all of those things unto you. I didn't build buildings here and buy presses here to do something for God. I went and found God and let God do what He wanted to through me and for me and by me, to the extent that He done what He wanted to do, in that these things were added unto me that we might do something for God. Now, if God puts something in your hand, it's like the song. If only a cup of water I placed within your hands, then only a cup of water, that's all that I'll demand. So then, let us be faithful, weary pilgrim. Let us do what God tells us to do. See, if your heart isn't in that thing, then get out of that thing. If your life isn't wrapped up in that thing, then get out of that thing. If you're not producing in that office and don't intend to do anything, get out of that office. Don't hold that office up. Like a brother come and asked me the other day. He wanted to give up his office. He said, Brother Pine, is this going to cause any confusion? Is this going to cause any wrong in me giving up my office? I said, beloved brother, there's no problem whatsoever. I didn't use the word beloved, but that's the way I think of a brother. I said, that's no problem at all. There is no confusion to that. There is nothing besetting about that. I know exactly what you're doing, and I know what you want to do. And there's no problem, not any at all. See, you're stepping out of the way. I can put somebody else in, or I can go on and do the job. There's no confusion. I said, but where the confusion comes is when they don't step out of the way, and when they don't get out of the way, and when they stand in the door, and when they keep telling me month after month and day after day they're going to do it, or they wish they'd done it, or they're sorry that they didn't do it, and someday. I said, and that's confusing to me. Now, so then, as I said, if you don't have that desire, if you don't have that zeal, if you don't have that burning in this way, that I have but one goal, I have but one desire, I have but one ambition, that is to get up in the morning and serve God all the day, to go to bed at night trusting that I'll dream about God or do my best even in my sleep for God, to awake in the night to do something for God, to awake in the morning to do something for God, and with that no other thing, whether it's work, make a living, feed the family, buy, get gain, whatever, no other desire at all. You know, unless you have that desire like that, you are a bonds child. But if you have that desire, then if God wants to give you a home, if God wants to give you a car, if God wants to give you a business, if God wants to bless you with a wife, if God wants to bless you with children, all of these things added unto you, and then you love them accordingly, secondary to God and all that God's got, and you do these things secondary to God and all that God has called you to do, then you can be a child of God. Then you are a son of God. Then you are a daughter of the Lord. But aside from that, you can take my word for it. God's going to meet you at the judgment, and all of a sudden your innermost desire and ambition is going to be revealed. If it's lust, it's going to come out and God's going to see it. If it's in secrecy of doing the low down evil things that some of them has done, even here among the people, then God is going to see it because it's going to come out. And many of you are going to be in the fire before you get to the judgment because of your evil and deceit. But nevertheless, it's going to come out. If your desire is for the world, if your desire is for a business, if your desire is to excel in the world, if your desire is for an education, your desire is for your ministry, your desire is for something out, your children, your wife, whatever, your husband, your desire is something outside of that deep, embedded, number one burning desire to do something for God. If you have any other desire, then at the judgment it's going to come out and you're going to face God. And brother, you're going to be a sad person because all of a sudden it's going to dawn on you that you are a bonds child, that you never was a son of God and a daughter of God, that you never was numbered among the body of Jesus Christ, and that you was just in there as a reflector, that your interest was really in the world and the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. So then David said, my heart is fixed. How is my heart fixed? It is fixed with the love of God. It is fixed in the Word of God. It is fixed concerning the things of God. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, David said. For this reason, I ask you, brethren, I ask you, sisters, I ask those that labor with me, if you cannot do your office, if you cannot take care of your office, which I know that you can do it if you will, but if you cannot, in that you have circumstances, you have things, you have businesses, you have desires, you have problems, whatever, if you cannot do it, I trust to the living God before the morning that I'll know it and have a resignation on your part to that extent. I trust that before the morning that I'll have it. Because eventually, You're going to lose out in your office anyway, one way or another. The Lord will take you out and put somebody in if you keep hindering. Or the Lord will work somebody else in, or something will happen to you, or whatever. See, so then I ask you, in the name of the Lord, take all that you've got, whatever your office is, and put your very best in there for God. Put it in there every day. Folks, listen to me. This is God's business. This is the only business there is. When we think of business, we think the president's office is great. The senator's office is great. The business of the world is great. College, they're great. All of these things are great. But with God, it's nothing but rubbish. All of it is the children of the world playing. And the Lord's going to burn it all and throw it into the garbage. But at this time, it's needful for a president. At this time, it's needful for a senator. At this time, there's great opportunity in those fields of activity. There's a need for businesses. There's need for wealthy people. See, there's need for skill. There's need for understanding and the right kind of education. See, there is a need for it at the moment. If they will use that for God, and if they'll give themselves to God, and they'll let that talent be something for God, and they'll utilize all of their abilities for God, then they can have a great reward in heaven for it as a service unto God and mankind. But otherwise, aside from that, it's nothing, just nothing. It's just nothing in the sight of God. Paul said with all of his learning, said it's nothing but dung. See, the only thing that is of importance at all is God. The only thing that's important is to win souls. The only thing that's important is to make sure that your soul is right with God. Martha, Martha, what are you doing, Martha? You cook, you wash, you buy, you sell, you get gain. But Martha, there's not but one thing that's important. And Mary has seen it and she's chosen that. So then, when I say these things, when we come back to God and we put God as the preeminence, and we make just like the president up here, I've said many times that somebody needs to get up and say the very thing that Reagan said. I said somebody needs to take a backbone and quit being wishy-washy and get the thing out of babbling instead of standing up there saying, well, we're president and we know that the people believe one thing and this people believe another thing and this people believe another, and we're the president and we've got to represent all of them. Therefore, we cannot believe any certain thing. We just have to be the president. We can't bring our religious conviction. Don't you know that's crazy? Don't you know that's confusing? Don't you know that's babbling? When an individual don't stand for nothing and nobody knows what he's... Don't you know you can't do that? How are you going to lead a people? What they need to do is like Washington did in his day and Abe Lincoln did in his day. Fasten something down, stand for that one thing, and let that be it. Now, I go along with Roosevelt in the sense that he opened America to all people and offered liberty to all people. But I don't go along with this thing where Congress or whoever says, you know, you can have your religion and he can have his religion and she can have her religion and they can have their religion. And we're just going to let everybody do anything they want to. I don't go along with that. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean you don't believe in freedom of religion? I certainly do not. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, look where we would be as Christians today if we didn't have freedom of religion. Where would we be? You say we'd be dead. Well, praise God, we'd be in heaven. Wouldn't have no problems. Freedom of religion? What do you think we ought to do? The same thing that God's going to do when he brings the Jews in as the head of the nation. There'll be one religion, that's all. Won't be no freedom about it. Freedom of religion, that's the most foolish thing I ever heard of. Freedom of religion. I believe that if you've got God, you are a free child. You're God's bondsman to the extent that you're God's prisoner. We don't need Roosevelt's outlook in freedom of this and freedom of that. That's what's got the world in a mess today. We don't need that. We had one way of life. We fled from the old country to get over here to do one thing, and that was to worship God. Somebody says, no, Brother Pike, we came over here to have freedom of religion. No, we didn't come over here for that purpose. Not according to the definition that they have given freedom of religion. We didn't come from that purpose. When they said freedom of religion, they meant they come over here to get free from the devils over there so they could have religion. They come over here so we could worship God and do what God wanted us to do. That was the freedom of religion they were speaking of, was getting away from that world over there and worshiping God according to the Bible. They didn't mean that everybody should come over here and bring every doctrine and every dogma and every evil thing that you can think of, from being a hippie to whatever, and say, this is my religion, like Sun Mun Yun and Sun Yon Moon or all these other people. God didn't intend that. The forefathers didn't intend that. That's just one big babbling. I appreciate Ronald Reagan's for standing up and pinning the thing down just to one God, one religion, one way. I appreciate that. That's what it's supposed to be. Somebody said, well, I believe in freedom of religion. Okay. So we're going to say this man's religion out here to come over here and blow Brother John's brains out, my brains out. Somebody said, don't bother him. That's his religion. But I noticed when they pull out the pistol and they start for the police and they start for the president, freedom of religion stops. Somebody said, well, you're being a radical, Brother Pike. I'm being no more radical than these other people that go around as a bunch of hippies and worshiping the moon and doing all these other crazy things and still killing people and killing souls, destroying millions of souls. Is a life more valuable than a soul? That's death. The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall die. That's death. We got a law that says stop that. Why is it the judge doesn't just let anything go? Why don't the judge just say we're going to have a freedom of people? If you want to kill, you kill. If you want to steal, you steal. If you want to cheat, you cheat. Whatever you want to do, we're not going to bother you about it. Why doesn't he do that? Why don't they do that? See, and I'm a minister of the gospel. I don't believe in doing that any more than they believe in doing that. They got a law book. People got together. They put it together and they said it's got to be like this. And if Brother Jimmy doesn't like it, it doesn't matter. If Brother Pike doesn't like it, it doesn't matter. If Brother Taylor doesn't like it, it doesn't matter. It still has to be like that. And the judge, he'll pound that desk and I'll say, I don't like your law. Like I told some of them down in Macon, Georgia, they had me out there before the judge and I was standing there and all I had was a little hole in my muffler. And they wanted to just about put me in jail and finally did put me in jail. I said, I don't think much of your law. He said, well, it's got nothing to do with it. I don't make it, I just enforce it. That's the way I feel about it, folks. I don't have nothing to do with it. God made it, I'm just here to enforce it. It's like God said, it doesn't matter if none of us likes it. If the speed limit says 55 miles an hour, it's 55 miles an hour. How is it that they can bring the Germans and the Japanese and everybody else over here into America and they can say 55 miles an hour and if you don't do it, you pay or you go to jail? But they can bring them from everywhere and bring them into America. And they can say you can do anything you want to, whatever, you can burn the church down if that's your religion. I don't see that, folks. I don't see that. I don't see that. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, they wouldn't burn the church down. They just burned a bunch of them down not too long ago. That was their religion. That was their religion. They didn't like our religion or their whosoever religion, so they done their evil. It was something that possessed them to do that. Like WSB said in Atlanta, I believe talking to Brother Ron and him today or the other day, said, I think that y'all out at Bethlehem got a raw deal. Said, I think a channel Let Them Alive and give you a raw deal. Whereas it is my conviction that Channel 11 Alive didn't do anything real ugly in the sense of the way they filmed and what they done and what they said. But the thing that was ugly was that they put us on TV with a bunch of cults where people was drinking chicken bloods and tearing their heads off and that kind of foolishness. That was the bad part. And as far as I know, WSB carried it through WSB and carried all, they went all up in Virginia and all around from what I hear, all over the place. See, and he said, I think y'all got a raw deal and I purpose in my heart that if I ever could, is going to do something about it. You understand what I'm saying? Why didn't the man just say freedom of religion? Now, he's a Mormon. I understand that he's a Mormon. What is he trying to protect us for? You know why? Because he knows if they do it to us, they'll do it to the Mormons. He's been through some persecution. He understands that. You understand what I'm saying? I believe there is but one way, that's God's way. And God didn't say there's any freedom to do any other way. He said, lest you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It doesn't matter whether it's me or the president or the queen. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody in Germany or somebody in America. He said, lest you repent, all of you will perish. That was one standard. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all of you. See now, folks, this is the way I see it. Our heart is supposed to be fixed in the Word of God. We're supposed to have one outlook, one way of life.
We're supposed to have one government, one God, one faith, one baptism. How in the world will a nation ever continue when it is divided? I've said this before, if I sell whiskey to make money off of it, to share it with Brother Taylor, and then give Brother Taylor a badge to lock them up out there because they drank whiskey, how in the name of reasoning will we ever survive? I brought a message out not too long ago concerning numbers of these things. Numbers of these things. You're not supposed to back out into the road in the way of traffic. If in this little old road that I've got right out here, I go out here and I back out in the way of traffic and a car hits me, they can put me in prison. They can get me for manslaughter if it kills somebody. But I go uptown and everybody backs out in the front of the traffic where the police are, and the police sits there and protects them in it. That don't make sense, folks. Them kind of things don't make sense. See, it's backwards. It means that there is a Babylon. It means that there's a confusion. It means that people don't know what's right and what's wrong. They've got so many things incorporated now, they don't even know what's right about the Constitution anymore. They don't understand anymore. You say, oh, I understand. No, you don't. If you understand, why do you go to a lawyer every time you get your foot into it? You don't understand. Even the lawyer doesn't understand. The lawyer can take something and take it to court. Lady, you don't have to mock. This is true. I'm not putting on a show. You can take it to court. God's not mocked anyway. You can take it to court and stand in court. And the lawyer can quote what the book says. And something else will come up over here. They'll say, well, that was last year. We got something new now. Even the lawyer doesn't know. See, nobody knows. Why is it that nobody knows? Because it's Babylon, Babylon the great whore of Babylon, the great whore. Somebody would say, what do you mean the great whore? I mean, she doesn't follow the Bible. She doesn't do what the Bible says. She goes where she wants to. She says what she wants to. Her ball games and frolics and everything is in the church today. She's the great whore. She's going after everything but God. Somebody says, well, God believes in freedom of religion. I'll tell you what. When you see the hundreds and millions of people that'll be turned into hell at the judgment, and when you see God set up the millennium and you see the Jews come into the head of the nation, you're going to find out that God don't believe in but one way, and that's His way. That's His way. In the army, they say this, there's two ways. Two ways. One's the right way and the other's the army way. And said, when you're in here, you're going to do it the army way. God's got just one way. That's the right way. Whether the army likes it or anybody else likes it, God's going to do it His way. And the army's going to take a bow to it just like everybody else. You know, David said, my heart is fixed. Getting back to these things, I appreciate from the depths of my soul a man standing up with a backbone. He may never get to heaven. He may never live right. But there's one thing about it. When he stood up and made the declaration he did boldly before all of them, it took the thing out of Babylon after all these years. One man, our leader, stood up like a great statesman and said, folks, there's but one way, and that's God's way. Somebody said, well, he didn't say that. Yes, he did. Read it. That's what he said. He said, there's only one way to balance the budget, and that's by the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. Now, is that one way? Is that numbers of other ways? A lot of other presidents thought there was another way to balance the budget. I said to my wife down through the years, I said, Betty, there's only one way to balance the budget. And that's to go to God. And I said, when Ronald come in, I said, his number one theme is to balance the budget. And he brought it out. It's going to take God. I told Betty, I said, he'll strive, he'll struggle, he can do anything he wants to, but it won't be balanced. And he come to realize it. Like a real man, he come to realize it. And stood up and said, there's only one way to balance, and that's to get back to God, folks. And what America needs is a spiritual revival. That's the thing. She doesn't need a president and a new president. And she doesn't need more money. And she doesn't need more frolic. And she doesn't need ball games. And she doesn't need television. She doesn't need education. She needs a spiritual revival. She needs to get back to God. That's what she needs to do, is come back to God. That's the only sensible thing to be done. And he said, I'm going to stay with it and stay with it and stay with it until we have freedom of religion in America. And somebody said, well, there you are right there, Brother Pike. That's the freedom of religion. He said it because that's what he understands. He doesn't understand anymore. The man's a natural man. I think he made a great, great statement and took a degree of boldness according to his understanding. But when he was saying freedom of religion, he was saying, I'm a Baptist person. And I believe in freedom of religion. That is, I believe in getting back to God. And that's all he knew was the Baptist. But see, folks, that wasn't really what it was. He had just finished talking to the people of the world that loved Jesus. And he didn't say Baptist. But that was the conviction according to his intellectual reasoning. He was saying, God, we need a spiritual revival. We don't need a Baptist church. We don't need a Methodist church. He didn't say Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever. He said, what we need is God. We need a spiritual revival. And we need to get back to God. That's what we need to do. And said, I'm going to keep on until it gets restored, till we have the right to worship God. That's what he was saying. I'm going to keep on till we can worship God. Worship God, not have freedom of religion to worship the moon. But he said we need a spiritual revival. We need to get back to God, not to worshiping the moon. And I'm going to keep on till I can get us back to worshiping God. And I said, well, I don't know. You don't know because you want to let yourself be ignorant. You don't want to know. You don't want to follow. You don't want to listen. You'd rather mock and be lighthearted about it, as some of you are doing right now, as you do it through all of my sermons. But nevertheless, it's true. God is one. God got one way. God demands it. He doesn't request it. He demands it. I might say, well, I think the Lord will just kind of easily let it roll along. If God will take his own son and put thorns in his head and put nails in his hand and put nails in his feet, you can be assured of one thing. God isn't going to let it just easily roll along. God is going to do something about it. If he had to put the nails in your hands and the thorns on your head and throw you into hell with it, he's going to do it his way. If he'd do his son that way, you can be sure he'd do Brother Pike that way. He'd do you that way. He'd do your son that way. He'd do anybody that way. When he said, depart from ye that work iniquities, for I never knew you. And the Bible said, these shall go away in everlasting punishment. What do you mean, work iniquity, Lord? Don't you know we believe in freedom of religion? And don't you know we believe it this way and you believe it that way and they believe it another way? He said, anything but my way is iniquity. Depart from me. That's what God is saying. That's why God brought Ronald Reagan and put him on the scene at this moment. That's exactly why he did it. That's why you're evil surmising in your minds and hearts right now that's contrary to me and God and the way of the Lord. And you're evil surmising. That's why you're in the condition you're in, because it's the end of the world. And God's closing in and he's shutting you out. But them that love God, them that are walking with God, them that are true in God, them that have their hearts fixed in God, God's going to lift them up. God's going to bless them. I say again, Ronald Reagan is the president of the United States. He might not know much about God. But I told my wife, I said, Betty, he'll be one of the all-time greats. And even though it's going to bring on a religious persecution, it's going to bring on a religious crisis to bring the Antichrist in and bring on the persecution of the Jews. See if I'm right. But at the same time, I said, I had read something of the man a number of months ago. And I said, Betty, I said, the way the man thinks, the way the man talks, I said, it's the way I think and the way I talk in the sense of God and wanting to get back to God and what we need for America. And I said, the things he said had such great wisdom in them. In other words, I've not seen that since George Washington, in reading the things of George Washington. George Washington, I thought like he did. I felt like he did. And he prayed some of the greatest prayers and said some of the greatest things because he based it on God's word, and it was God's word with all purity. He spoke of holiness and righteousness and godliness and pureness. Washington did that. He didn't talk like a president, not at all like a president. He talked like a preacher. So then I said that again to say this. The man has taken to himself a great degree of boldness, and he's going to run into a wasp's nest because them people up there, there's a bunch of bastard children that's gotten into that politic thing, and whereas there's a few sons of God here and there, they're going to have it out. There's going to be war in heaven. There's going to be war in heaven. When he took that stand right there for God, brother, there are going to be some sparks flying, because Ronald Reagan is a man that rules with a rod of iron, and he isn't going to back up that easy on his convictions. Though he's going to compromise some things that I wished he wouldn't compromise. And that because of his ignorance and not understanding. If he could have walked on with God and followed God, what a beautiful thing it would have been. It would be. But he's a man with a rod of iron. When he says it, he means it. And when he says, I'll go back again and go back again and go back again, they have but one thing to do. They've either got to blow his brains out, get him out of office, excommunicate him, or do something with him. Because if they don't do it, he'll put over what he's planning to do. He's just that type fellow. He runs that type in the mind of the Lord. That's the kind of person he is. So then, I thank the Lord for somebody saying that. My heart is fixed. Let's get back to Bethlehem. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. Let's get back to Bethlehem. Look at Ronald Reagan. Let's take him for an example. He's our president. Let's take him for an example. If he's trying to do his office, over 70 years old, agile, still busy, still concerned, still alert. If he can do his job, and if he's that interested in God and the things of God, and him the president with all the natural responsibility. You that are supposed to be sons of God that have an office here and be as wishy-washy and as unconcerned and don't care and up and down and in and out and half-hearted, you don't deserve an office. You don't deserve to have anything to do for God, not anything to do for God. You that can sit around and read and study all day long, nothing but just read and study and read and study this week and the next week and the next month and the next month, when all of these things need to be done for God over here. And you know that you've got the ability to do it. You're not fit to have an office. You're not fit to be a son of God. Anybody that can see people starve to death, whether it's a president or a preacher, whether it's a laity, whatever it might be, they're not fit to be called a son of God. They're not fit to be called a human being, let alone a son of God. Here at Bethlehem, if I didn't have one standard for all people, we'd be a mixed up, messed up bunch of religious people. Just like in the church today, they're a mixed up, messed up. They don't know what to believe. They don't know how to go. They don't know what to do. They try to make allowance for the doctrine, make allowance for the dentist, and try to make allowance for the athlete, and make allowance for the cotton mill worker, and make allowance for the carpenter, and make allowance for the booze drinker. And by the time they get through, they've got such a mixed up, messed up babble until nobody don't understand anything. But years ago, they didn't do that. The old preachers had one standard, that was holiness. And they said holiness or hell, and the doctor had to be holy. Why is it that the doctor can't be holy? Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know he's a professional man? I'll tell you what, anybody that won't be holiness and serve God is a professional fool. That's what he is. A dentist or a doctor or athlete or any other professional man is a professional fool if he doesn't serve God. I don't care what kind of status he's got in the world, money, education, prestige. He's a professional fool. That's what he is. Now, so I feel this way. Why can't the doctor serve God? Why can't the dentist serve God? Why can't everybody else serve God? Why can't they leave the things alone that's unlike Jesus? What is it about them that's so high and mighty that they cannot come down and serve God in holiness? Like the prophet said, let them go down to the muddy river and dip in the mud a few times and get some starch out and come back and serve God. It won't hurt them. What's wrong with the doctor and the dentist coming out here digging a mud hole and helping me some? They've counseled with me, the banker, the doctor, the dentist. They've asked my advice about things. They've even come out here to counsel with me. If they can do that, why can't they get a shovel and dig in the mud some? It won't hurt them. I don't see where it hurts them at all. So then, I feel this way about it. I feel like that what we say to one, we say to all. It's good for Brother Pike. It don't hurt the preacher. It don't hurt the preacher. It don't hurt the priest. As a matter of fact, the priest had come out here. We had him out here, and if he'd stayed a little longer, we'd had him digging. Because I already had some plans for him. See, I feel this way. The priest, he come down out of that lofty place and went down to the river and got baptized in Jesus' name. That's what the other priests need to do. You say, you're beside yourself, Brother Pike. Well, Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the gospel and for the cause of Christ. As far as I'm concerned, folks, that's the way it is. My heart is fixed in God with one thing, and that's the word of the Lord. And I feel this way. I thank God for those that are standing up for the gospel, and they might not know much, but if they stand up for what they know, that's all that God requires. If just a cup of water he places within Ronald's hand, then just a cup of water is all that he'll demand. So then whatever he has given you, whatever he has given me, whatever he's given Ronald, God will require it. I run by a man in a vision one day. I grabbed his hand. I was in the biggest kind of hurry. And I grabbed his hand and said, come on. And I heard a voice say, 30-fold. So I quit. Because see, if just a cup of water, then that's all God will demand. Just the cup of water. See, if 30-fold, if that's what it is, that's what he requires. But whatever he reveals to us here at Bethlehem, folks, that's what he's going to require. Now, within the next day or two, and I hope that Brother Mitch and the wife has about got the flag done. I know they're working on it. Have you any ways close to the finish line on it? That's good. Now, I may go down to Florida. I don't know. But as of now, I've not gone down there, not felt to go down there. But I'm going to send the flag up yonder to Mr. Reagan's. The Lord's will, nothing happened. We ought to have it in just a little bit. And we're going to try to get it right on off up to Mr. Reagan's and let him know how we feel and compliment him. Let him know that we as a people stand 100% behind anybody that'll take the boldness that he took to stand up and make a declaration for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm this type of person. I don't mind saying, Ronald Reagan's, you're wrong. And I don't mind blasting out over the radios, TVs, Ronald Reagan's, you're wrong. I don't mind doing it. It don't make no difference who it is to me. I feel that way about it. And I've done it numbers of times concerning Jimmy, concerning Ronald, concerning the leaders, concerning Jerry Falwell and the others. But I also feel this way, that if a man does something that's right, and especially the way he did it, having to resist the opposition that he did and take the boldness that he did, I think he needs to be praised. Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. And to me, that's a good thing, and he deserves some praise. You say, well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, you don't bother. I'll take care of all of it myself. You don't have to bother with it. That's the reason we don't have any presidents now and any leaders now and any senators now. That's really godly is because we've never praised them and never lifted them up and never magnified and never been concerned. You know, let them run it. What do we care? That's like Bethlehem. I had 7 governors. Let the people run it. What do we care? And now we don't have 7 governors. We keep on and there won't be no government. There'll be a king up there. Somebody said, oh no, I know because I done seen it in a vision. We need to do something. We need to do something. The saints shall rise and take the kingdoms of this world and possess it forever and ever. If God's giving us a shove and God's giving us a boost, then the thing we need to do is come to the forefront and let them know that we're behind that. We're behind that. Like the man from WSB said, we got a raw deal out here. He said, I know. Said, I checked it out myself in Monroe and said what it was. Said it was some religious people that didn't like y'all. He said, but y'all got some people out there that's got great respect for y'all. And I did get an invitation to a new church that opened up over here. It's been over here, not really new now. It's been here for a number of years. But it's new coming to this area. And the pastor, they've been kind of hostile and they've been separated. And they act like they didn't want our fellowship and whatever. But they sent me an invitation the other day that they'd sure love to have our fellowship over there at that church. It's a pretty nice brick church uptown. They'd like to have our fellowship and like to have us to come over. And, you know, we spoke about them looking in this direction, saying there's a good thing. And now WSB and then the people uptown and the different ones. And like Dr. Dew, he come out of his office the other day, left his business, everything, walked out into the waiting room, especially to have me to meet their youth leader. They've got a preacher by the name of Jim at the Big Baptist Church right up there next to the Methodist Church. And Jim's been over in the Philippines. He just come back. I saw a big sign out there, Welcome Jim. And they told me he was over in the Philippines. I don't know what kind of fella he is. I never met him. But they seemed to think a lot of him. But anyway, he wanted me to meet their youth director. And their youth director is a fine person that spent some time in Africa. And he and his wife, and he told me, he said, I've heard about you, Brother Pikes, and I've heard about that ministry. And he was really thrilled to make our acquaintance and said, you know what? He said, I'm coming out there. So see, I feel this way. Folks, we cannot go their way. We can't do that. We can't compromise and go with sin. But if they'll come our way, then that's what we must do. Jacob said, we can't go with you. If you want to marry our daughter, you're going to have to take the sign of circumcision, because that's our law. That's for one and all. And they did. They said, all right, we'll go with you. So this is the way I feel. If God says all of the world, to every creature, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, President, King, Queen, Pope, whatever, it don't make no difference. If they'll come the way of the gospel, then that's the way that they should go under. They're welcome into the wonderful kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, they've got to do that. See, they've been going their way with their head in Lucifer, and now he's cast out. So they don't have a head. See, and those that to be salvaged, it's been misled, that's going to turn in the direction of Christ, they have to turn and follow this. And whereas as education has had the preeminence, frolics of the world, now Jesus has taken the preeminence and the wonderful things of God to take the kingdom. All of the nations will be there in the millennium, all of them. And the Jews will be the head of the nation, and we'll be the head of the Jews as celestial sonship. That'll bring in the millennium. Everything is coming to that point, a new beginning. I want you to stand with me. I really appreciate your kindness. I didn't mean to holler at you. I wasn't trying to holler at you. But I feel things rise up. They ought to not rise up. But nevertheless, people don't pray and people don't seek God. And they're kind of shallow, you know, and they kind of waver. And in doing that, a lot of times because of that, then when I'm preaching something spiritual, then that natural mind will rise up. And of course, when that rises up, it's enmity with God. That's wrong. See, that's wrong. They shouldn't do that. It's enmity with God. I love you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to abuse you. I don't want to scold you. I don't want to say anything to you. But I've got to say something to you. I've got to. And I trust that you'll receive it in the right way. I trust that I'll say it in the right way. I trust that it will bring about the right thing. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Don't forget to pray about my trip to India. We're still trying to get into India. As far as I know, Brother Bradley's got the meeting, pardon me, set by now. And as I say, there's about $5,000 of the 20 that was pledged just come in. And it took the whole $5,000 plus a whole lot of other to be able to pay the bills. But we're still believing God, and we're going to India. By the help of God, you'll see us go to India. You say, Brother Pike, how are you going to do it? By faith. By faith. The Bible said if that man says it and don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. I say it, I don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. So then we're going to India. God is going to make the way. Somebody said, how are you going? You don't have any way. Jesus said, I'm the way. And Jesus said, go to India. So to India we go. You just pray for us and believe with us, and whatever you can do and want to do, God bless you. I appreciate it so much. I like Jerry come to me tonight. Brother Jerry come to my door before I come to church, Brother Lambert. And he said, Brother Pike said, me and my wife was talking, and said, she said, Jerry said, God told me to do something. And she started to tell Jerry, and Jerry said, God's already told me to do it. Said, so we'll do it. He said, well, what is that, Brother Pike? To give us $500 on our trip. Now, I think that's great, don't you? And that they're going to pay their own way over. I'm not paying their way over other than just believing with them. See, they're paying their own way over, and yet they wanted to give $500 to help us on our way over. I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad that they did that, because sometimes if people go with us, you know, they say, well, you should have given Brother Pike the money. Whereas that's true. If you ain't got no business over there, you need to give somebody the money. Maybe not Brother Pike, but somebody, the church or whatever, you ain't got no business going. But on the other hand, people that are willing to go and do what they can, and they're pressing the issue because it's going to be costly for them. And they're going to try to help us in what we're doing over there. There's a lot to be done. You don't realize it, but there's a lot to be done when we go over there. And then they up and give some money to help us. Then to me, I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. So then I thank God for that. I thank God for you. I thank God for every one of you. And you that are in the offices, and you that are working with me, and you that are trying to do something, and you that's not rebelling and finding fault, you know, and trying to do everything contrary and pouting and puffing and everything else, then I thank God for you. I don't have much respect for a man that when he knows that he's done wrong, and he knows that he's done wrong. A woman that knows that they're done wrong. They've been doing wrong. And then you reprove them over it, and they want to pout and fuss and find fault and act up and everything else and resent and quit and You know, I don't have much respect for a person like that, because there's not much there to respect. But I've got respect for a person, man or woman, even if they make a mistake. If they'll repent over it and say, "Brother Pike, I'm sorry, I've sure done wrong, and you've opened my eyes," or "God's opened my eyes," or "a brother's opened my eyes," or "a sister's opened my eyes," and Brother Pike, in that they have, then I'm going to do better. I'm going to do right. And then not make that a hobby horse of excuse just to tell it and never do nothing, but really get in there and make an effort. I can respect a man that tries and makes an effort. If that man makes an effort, if he doesn't get but 30-fold, if he doesn't get the job done altogether, you know, but if he's making an effort and trying to do it. And you know, let me say this to you women folk. Let me take a minute while you're standing, because we didn't nothing like get through. Now, I'll try not to hold you. But let me take just a minute while I talk with you. You need in your office. See, you need in your office a system. I said this evening, if you can't keep records, then I don't have any need for you. If you can't keep a record, I don't have any need for you. Think of what offices would be like if there was no records. See, I need a record. We're going to have a computer system, the Lord's will. We're going to have it, the Lord's will. I just been waiting until we really desperately needed it. Whereas we needed it already, and I bought one, but they misinformed me it won't work. I got to get another one. But we're going to have a computer system, where everything here can be under computerized system, where Sister Betty, Sister Linda, those that are in the offices can know that quick what's going on about all the offices. Now, you that have an office, let me give you an example. We get letters from abroad. We get a letter. This person says, "Brother Pike, I need such and such. And I want Brother Jerry to listen to this and to Sister Doris." Okay, now, because they've got an office that's a real important office that's got to be carried out and carried out right. Now, and they write a letter and they say, "Brother Pike, I need this and I need that." Sister Sheila, I believe, isn't she in the mail room? Doesn't she receive the letters? Okay, Sister Sheila, she gets the letters. She reads it. She goes to Sister Betty. And when she goes to Sister Betty, she said, "Now, Sister Betty, we've got to have thus and thus and thus." Okay, Sister Betty gets that. And then Sister Betty comes to me, because Sister Sheila has to get that letter to me, and it's got to come by Sister Betty, because Sister Betty's in that office. She's my wife. This is the way we work it. Okay, now Sister Betty comes to me like they did the other day, and I told them that we had to have something for Brother Harold Blair's over in Jamaica. Harold's got a big operation. He has offices. He has people. He has a lot of people that's hungry, a lot of people that's needy. So Sister Betty, she said, "How many suits do you want to be sent over to Jamaica?" I said to Sister Betty, I said, "Sister Betty, I don't know." I said, "How many suits have you got? How can I tell how many suits to send to Jamaica if I don't know how many suits is down there?" I knew that Brother Gary Armstrong had brought in a whole bunch of things, and some of the other brethren, they had brought in, Gary brought in a bunch of new clothes. And I hadn't even had a chance to look into them until a few days ago, other than glance at them. And I thought, "Well, I don't know. Betty, how can I tell you? I don't know how many suits there is." So Sister Betty said, "Well, we're going to have to get together." So then we took Sister Frances, and we set Sister Frances over the clothing that's coming in. Because some folks have just went down there and tumbled them up and throwed them around. They're just nothing to them, you know. No concern, no nothing. And Sister Frances, I want to say this about her. As far as I know, this is the truth. Sister Frances is a very conscientious person. She has her faults, she has her problems, but she's very conscientious. And Sister Frances, as far as I know, has cried. She's helped to clean the building up and cried, because the different one would junk it up and bring in stuff and not check it in and have no system and whatever. And she wanted Bethlehem to be beautiful and clean and tidy. Whereas the other day I was embarrassed down in the basement because they hadn't cleaned up the basement, and the man came in like he did. It was real embarrassing to me. Now, so then, Sister Frances, we put her over the clothing. Okay, now I understand that since that time, Betty's got with Sister Frances, and they have Sister Jimmy Lou, and they have Sister Charlotte. Is that right? These work with Sister Frances in the clothing department. Now, I asked Sister Frances to be sure to hang all of these clothes up on racks, to fold all these clothes up properly, everything. Now, here's what we got to have to show you how confusion can arise. See, If we don't have this, we have a lot of confusion. What we've got to do is those things have got to be hung up. People out yonder are not playing a game. We might play a game. But if a man at a clothing store takes $500 worth of stuff off of his rack, new stuff, that's not a game with him because he can make money out of that. And he's expecting a tax write-off. And the government isn't playing games when we give them the tax write-off. Now, in fact, those clothes come here to be sent out to the needy, and they're not sent out to the needy, and the government finds out about that, or the man finds out about it, we're going to be a bunch of heels in their eyes, and we're going to be in trouble. Now, so I got to have loyal people. I got to have people that will do what I ask them to do. So then, Sister Frances, by the leadership of Sister Betty and whoever is involved, over Sister Charlotte and Sister Jimmy Lou and whoever, whatever, who's over what, the oversight. Now, these people have to have an itemized list of everything that comes in, and they need an itemized list that also gives the sizes. If there's 10 shoes and 5 coats and 3 dresses and whatever, they need an itemized list and need the sizes. Therefore, if I say, as I did the other day, Sister Betty said, there's 20 suits. I said, give me 7 of them to send to Brother Harold Blair's. All right, now 7 suits comes out to go to Harold, and then some goes to the other different parts of the world. Now, if I take the 7 suits, plus some shoes, plus some dresses, whatever they put together, and they package these things up to send to them hungry, naked people in Jamaica, they send them to the poor. That is pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, and we will get a reward. He will bless us with our finance. He will bless us with our health. He will bless us in our ministry. He will bless us with eternal life. He'll bless us in every way. Okay, now, if I get that, and I take that, if they get it all together, Sister Frances and them, then Brother Gerald Whitlow, which is the chief leader over the benevolence, Christian benevolence, if he works with his wife Doris, and if Doris will go to Sheila, when the letter comes, it goes to Sister Betty. Sister Betty gets it lined up, and I think she turns it, the order back to Sheila. I'm not sure, but ever how she does it. How do you do it, Betty? Oh, she can't talk right now. But anyway, Sister Betty does it, or it goes back to Sheila, or somebody, you know, that's connected with it. I don't know who. Okay, now, I'm saying this. If it goes back, then that order, we'll take it for example. They get an order for tapes. They send that order to Brother Bill. Brother Bill, he's got an excellent bookkeeping system. All right, now Bill has an excellent record. It goes up there, and Bill checks his records and names and whatever to see if he's got anybody like that. If not, he makes a card. He puts it on file. Then he knows exactly how many tapes he's got to have. He knows who has ordered the tapes, and he sends the order out. Now, like Brother Gerald. Brother Gerald, Sister Doris, is supposed to get that order. Now, it's supposed to be clear and sharp and with understanding. Brother Jerry is supposed to have an office to where he keeps records. There should be 3 copies of that made, and one of them copies should be Brother Gerald's. And one of them copies should go down there to the general information. In other words, I have to know what's going on. There has to be a record that will go to the shipping department, or Brother Gary doesn't know anything. If everything is itemized and everything is in order, when it goes to the shipping department, there's no confusion. And Gary knows how much money it's to take and where it's to go to and whatever. And he and Sister Carolyn, they take that and they send it right over there to them. Like I made the statement. Down here in the printing department, do you want to sit down just for a moment? Forgive me, folks. I didn't mean to get started all over again. I meant to say this a while ago, and I will let you go in just a few minutes. Now, but this is the Father's business. Now, Jerry being over this, Sister Doris being over this, and I'll get back to my thought as I start to say something there. Being over this, it's important that Brother Gerald keeps a record. He needs records. He's got to have records. There's no way to get around it. Now, Brother Gary, for him to ship these clothes out, he's got to have a record. There's no way he can work otherwise. But if Jerry's got these sizes down, these things listed, when that package goes to Gary, he knows what's happening. When Gary sends that listing over to Brother Harold Blair's, there's no confusion getting it past custom and getting it into the country. They know what it is. When Brother Harold Blair's gets it in his office, where he has somebody working among those that are charitable, and I might remind you that Harold is in good standing, the leader, the chief leader of that country, caters to Harold. And they're real close. It's a chance to evangelize Jamaica completely, and no telling how many islands it will affect or places throughout the world. Now, as a matter of fact, that man comes over here for conference with the big celebrities because he's one of them. He's the leader of the nation. So then when this goes to Harold, he takes the clothing. Whoever it is in his office will take the little sheet out and they'll look at it. And they'll see five coats and four dresses and three of this and whatever, shoes and size such and such and size such and such and size such and such. So he says in the service to whoever, said, bring your family. And this particular family comes, he said, be sure to have your sizes right. So these sizes are right, and they come over there, and he can just give them stuff according to their sizes. There's no confusion. Everything is perfectly intact, and it just works out beautifully. It just works out beautifully. Now, it takes a little effort to have an office. It takes a little effort to do a little figuring. You can't run all over creation and do something for God. You can't be here, there, and everywhere and do something for God. The Bible said, stand still and know that I'm God. You can't eat, drink, and just do nothing but just ride around and go here and there and do something for God. You can't spend your time running up and down the road and out here in the places where you buy and frolic in the world, or just a big frolic, or staying at home and eating and drinking and just lounging around. You can't do that. You can't spend your time gossiping and backbiting and finding fault and always wanting something for yourself, or your gullible desire, or for your family, or visiting with relatives, or always sitting on the TV or radio or reading some magazine. You can't spend your time always surmising and backbiting and doing the evil things and do something for God. Your mind cannot be occupied with other things. You're to meditate in the laws of God day and night. Cast down your imagination of gossiping and desire and worldly gain, and get your mind on God and what God needs and what God wants, and stay with it. And you can't do nothing for God grumbling and mumbling and fussing and saying, well, they won't help me, and he won't help me, and she won't help me, and they won't help me, and I can't do it. You can't do nothing for God like that. It doesn't matter. If I don't want to stay up all night and Brother Taylor's supposed to pray, he's got to pray. If Brother Taylor doesn't want to stay up all night and I got to pray, I got to pray. It doesn't matter about them. The thing is, that's my job. That's my job. Now, God expects that out of me. He expects you to do what you're going to do. You can't do nothing for God going to your office and flipping around with a few books and a few pages and looking and sitting over there for about 2 or 3 hours till you get weary, worn, and tired and ain't done nothing. Leave the office. You can't do nothing for God like that. If you've got to dig a ditch, you're going to have to strike a pick into the dirt. You're going to have to shovel. You're going to have to bend your back. You're going to have to use a little energy. You can't do nothing for God unless you put forth some effort and have some concern and utilize your thinking and get something else on your mind. It takes some thinking. It takes controlling your thought. It takes exerting your thought. Men that occupy offices like Brother Lynn and different ones that have responsibility to people out there, and presidents and statesmen, and some of you people that work out there in the world, you've got responsibility. It takes some of your mind. Somebody said, well, it don't take all of my mind. I know, but that's because you don't have a business. You just have a run to and fro, and any old thing will do. And you don't know who you're going to pay and who you're going to work and whether it'll work or whatever. And you don't know whether the government's going to have you in prison tomorrow because you're evading income tax, or whether they're going to pick your people up or what. You don't know nothing. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm talking about God's business. See, God's got a record. God's got a record of the stars. God's got a record. In the Old Testament, when the prophets did something, they had a record. They put it in a tube, put it in the ground. God's got a record. You get to heaven, and the first thing God does, he says, open the book. And then he said the books were open. God is a God of record. I need somebody that'll keep a record. Don't come and try to tell me what you got in your head and what you thought last week, and you don't know whether it's that way. Or like somebody I told this evening, they come to me and they ask me a certain thing about certain thing costing whatever. I said, don't do that, brethren. You're supposed to come and tell me. I'm not supposed to tell you. That's for your records. That's why I got you, so you'll have a record for that department. I don't want somebody to in their office to let everything get behind, and when it wouldn't have been but $30 last week, they wait until it's $60, wait until it's $90, wait until it's $150, and I go to make a trip to India, and they come and say, I ain't got to have $150. Got to close the office down. That upsets me. See, if it's $20, come while it's $20. You people that pay your light bill, let it double up about 4 weeks, and then you try to pay it, or 4 months, and try to pay it. It's rough. See, that's why some of you are in the condition you're in right now. You know yourself, you had the money to pay your bill, and you had the money to pay that man out there, but you wouldn't do it. You said, well, I'm making plenty of money, I'm going to use this to get what I want this week, and the next week I'm going to take some money and pay him. And you've done that once or twice, and as a consequence of that, it done got so big you couldn't handle it. So when it got so big you couldn't pay it, you say, well, I'll worry about it anyway. But that ain't right. If you can't pay but $1 a week, you got to pay on it. And you got to talk to that man. You got to do something. God will not release you from it. I told us not too long ago, and I'm going to try to hurry along. I went back and paid some bills many years ago. I went off in the ministry. I had some bills, owing some bills. I didn't get to pay them. Years later, I come back into the area. I purpose in my heart, if I ever get back, I'll pay the bills. I went to the men years later. And brother, don't think they forget. When I said, do you? They said, we sure do. I said, do you know it? They said, we know just exactly how much. Do you want your money? We sure do. We want it just as bad or worse. As a matter of fact, we don't know but what we don't want a little interest on it. That was the attitude. You'd think it was altogether different, you know. You'd think, well, here I'm being a good person. I'm coming back and I'm paying my just and honest debts and they're going to be so glad. They didn't feel that way at all. They feel like you run off and you beat me and you owed the money. Now you've used my money. You ought to give me some interest. You see how folks think? Okay, now, and they were right. They were right. Only in the sense of Christianity, it should have been different. But what I'm saying, folks, is like Brother Gerald. There's got to be some records. There's got to be some interest. There ain't going to be no office unless there's some interest. See, there's got to be some interest. To have interest here, you got to cut off some interest out there. He's got to have a record. Sister Doris has got to be on the job. Sister Francis has got to be on the job. You've got to be on the job. Brother Bill's got to be on the job. I got to be on the job. We've got to be on the job. We've got to give ourselves to this in every office or it won't work. Now, I'm going to say this in close because there's just a whole lot of things I'd like to say. But if we took little Brother Michael Beach, I don't know where Mike's at, but we elected him into an office tonight that we've never had before. And this is an office to work between the video and between the sound. I can't get anything on our little TV station here. I can't get it straightened out. I was watching some films last night, me and Brother Vince Boss, and we was enjoying them. But every few minutes, it would break down. And every few minutes, it just fizzle, nothing on the TV, and just an interruption, and you have to wait and running things back. And Brother Vince said, I sure wish I went ahead and played that song on Israel. Said, I would have really enjoyed that. They started it, and then, they run it back, and see, and this ought not to be. You say, well, Brother Pike, when you start a project, you have to work it out. But brethren, this project has been started for a number of years. You say, well, what's that? There's a whole lot to it. Because that one project can keep my people's hearts filled with the flame of God. That one project can give them entertainment and godly, virtuous things that will fill their heart up, that when they come to church, their mind will be programmed to where God can open up the revelation and give us great things. And then I'll have contented people in a community. Their children will be contented. They won't feel like they're robbed and be running over here to the TV to watch something gullible over there. It's for sure that if you don't feed your children the right kind of food, they're going to go over there to the hog pens and feed out of the slop bucket. But if you feed them and they're full, they won't go around the slop bucket because they're already full to start with. See, so I feel this way about it. Those things, there shouldn't be any breaks in between like that. They should be a camera. They should be a commentator. They should be a reporter. There should be somebody. Just think for a minute now. What if we had somebody that was a good reporter that could give us some of the local things, and even like the things that Ronald Reagan said that could be carried on to the people. Some of them never read it. Some of them never know it. Could be carried on to the people. And some of the things we have, little ones that's born into the community, and people are interested as to the health of the people and the child and whatever, and the new ones that come. What if we had somebody that could write these things down and get these things and had it in you know, in a way to break when the films were broken, and from one film to another, it was no break, and it come in with the little news report that we would have of Brother Pike going to India, or what's happening in India, or what's happening down here at the boat, or the people down there, or what's happening with the brethren that are out on the job, or the sisters in the community, or what's happening in the Christian benevolences so far as getting something over yonder, and some Christian news of hundreds and thousands of things that we could have, that we would enjoy, that would be a blessing to us. Little programs of our children, Christmas programs, or holiday programs, or any kind of thing that we're doing in the activities of Christ, not only here but abroad. There's people like the broadcast for Jesus in Washington as to being posted on that, if we'd had somebody to cover that, being posted on some of those things and different things, whereas we don't get any of it, we would have all of it. And it would just keep us intact with everything that's going so far as Christ all around the country. And it would help us on the home front, because on the home front, they've just multiplied things that I can think of that we need to have right there, you know, on so far as news. And these things concerning the offices, reports on them, video reports. They use video to teach the children in school. Video reports. We ought to have it. And I am going to close in saying this. We need video in our schools. Christian video. We need, and I guess Brother Ron will probably be doing this. He was going to do it today. I don't want him to bother tonight because it's late, but maybe tomorrow whenever he gets a break. He's fixing to put the video over here in the pyramid building, and in, that is, in the control room, and down in the two little rooms that's down one story lower, which is our recording studios. He's going to put the video in there to where the engineers up here can see the people by the video while they're singing and whatever. That'll break that down of men and women having to be together and all these things, and still give place for our engineers. They can watch them in their position and position them, and everything can be holy and godly. On the outside through the window, our people can fellowship, drinking pop, eating corn, whatever. Sit there and enjoy it. And we've got the doors cut. If Brother Darrell and some of them will put the little rail work out on the top there, some of our carpenters and different ones get to doing what they're supposed to do. Then right there, they can go out, sit at the little tables and eat and drink, whether it's at night in the cool of the summer, whatever. Enjoy every bit of it. Every bit of it. See? And the news commentators and the different ones that we have working here of Christian news. Something for God. Feed us from God's table and keep us away from the garbage can. And let our minds be filled with virtue. If anything be lovely, think on these things. Help us to overcome and help us to strengthen our children and keep them away from dope and whatever. See, I'm saying that if we'll do these things, then we'll spread the gospel throughout the world. Songs, recordings, and it's not songs and recordings, but see, I talked to Brother Mitch about some film strips and the things that we wanted to go into China and different places. It's just beautiful in what we had in mind. But if we are filled with lethargy and unconcern and no concern whatsoever, folks, we're never going to do anything. We'll all die and be lost. Our children will wander off and become dope addicts, and we won't have nothing. The school out here, I told the children the other day when I was telling them, I said, you ought to be thrilled. I said, you children ought to be thrilled. And you parents ought to be thrilled beyond the wildest imagination to think that a bus doesn't have to come and take your baby over to a pig pen. They said they went through the schools and the second and third grades, I believe it was. They had so much dope here in Monroe until the police was astounded. As a matter of fact, the statement was made from somebody that the people would be better off if they didn't even send the kids to school. See, in here, you don't have to worry about your kid going off having a wreck or being pulled off or somebody beating them up or jumping on them. Oh, they come right over here. And look, folks, some of you dishonor me and God in such a way till it's degrading to little Bethlehem and degrading to me and a reproach to the name of Christ and what we stand for, in that you won't even divide your money with the school teacher, with the little measly bit that they get to watch after your child, and you won't buy a book and won't share with them. I tell you, that is absolutely degrading in the sight of God and the sight of the... I can't hardly believe it, that anybody would do any such thing. It's just shocking to me. And yet you do that. You do that. Seeing you ought to be thrilled. Well, anyway, all I'm saying is they're going to put in some video down there in the different places. Brother Ron has already run the video cable here. We have the video cable here at the church, and we can have live programs right here. Now, we need one of these. Costs a little more money. We have to have it. We need this. See, and right here in the church, we can have live programs. It will go out. You wouldn't have to miss a service if you were sick. You'd hear it. You'd see it. But if we don't do nothing, then we can't have nothing. I want you to stand with me. Sister Dale is looking this way again. Number of the other children. Susie's at home with us. And tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we're supposed to make some recordings. We're about 4 hours away from our professional records. And in the morning, we'll have some recordings that we're making, because there are some groups that keeps asking for our material. And they say the fields is wide open right now for new material. They're pleading for new material, and we probably got 800 or 1,000 songs. And matter of fact, I think Joe counted 800 today. He was looking through some of them, little Joseph. You know, my Danny and little Joe, they're really getting interested in this. Them kids is coming on. Brother Taylor, them kids is coming on. You know, and Joe and Danny, they love to get up there and show video and work in that room. And I'm going to start using some of my younger folks, like I told you, and let some of you that don't love God and don't care, that's just going to mumble, grumble, and make excuses. I'm going to take some of them little ones, and I'm going to train them in. I'm going to train them in. We're already doing it. And just let you do what you want to, and we'll utilize their strength and their understanding. Put an oversight over them to help them. And you others that don't want to do nothing, you can just do what you want to. I need you elders. I need you. You're valuable to me. Elders is always valuable, because the Bible said wisdom is with the ancient. We need it just like we need Reagan's up in the presidency, that is according to his age, the experience. We need you. But if you're just going to mumble and grumble and not do anything to help me, we're going to bypass you and go on to the youth. Take what age ones we do have and the elders and utilize their ability to the best of our understanding. But anyway, I want you to think all these things over and pray with us and pray about the trips. Pray about everything that we're trying to do. Try to get in here and help us. Try to work with us. Don't waste your life, folks. Don't throw your life away. Dale's coming over in the morning to make some records, because people are wanting some, or some tapes, because people are wanting some of our material to record. And I've kept it away from numbers of them. Numbers of people could have had it today, and I could have had it on records all over the country. As a matter of fact, before I become a preacher, I was already putting it on records myself. Played my first record on the jukebox that had come out. See, and it has touched as far as Hollywood. It was in demand. But I laid that aside to do something for Jesus. But whatever, there's people that have talents. They write songs, they sing. And these talents need to go out to God, and we want to do that. But we're going to have your cooperation and concern. Otherwise, you can go after the world if you want to. That's your business. Let our little banking system go. Let our recordings go. Let everything out here for Christ go. And in that you are a bond's child, go after that which your heart hungers for. The rock and roll and the world and the things out there. Go out there with your crowd. Go out there with your people. Follow after that. Your day is almost at an end, but go on and fill yourself up with fussing and backbiting and feuding and finding fault and interfering with things of God and whatever. You go on. Go on, Balaam, Jesus said. But you that love God, take heed and take warning as a wise man looketh well to his going. And get an interest. Get your vision or you'll perish. Get your vision. You girls and boys and men and women that don't have a vision, if you're not doing anything for God, you get your vision. Because if you don't have a vision for God, you're going to do something in your own natural thinking. It's just going to be eating, drinking, riding, reading, fussing, fighting. Everything but God. Get you a vision. Find you something to do for Christ. And you'll save your soul. Without a vision, the people perish. Okay, took a little long tonight. I didn't really mean to do that. But I say again, David said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I know where I come from. I know who I am. I know what I want to do. I know what I've been doing. And I know by the help of God what I'm going to do. Because my heart is fixed. If your heart is fixed, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you've never took the word of God to program your life, thank you, brother, then if you have never done that, then it's for sure that your heart is not fixed. Your heart is not fixed. And you're going to have problems because you don't have a vision. Then you're going to perish. All right. You want to sing a little chorus with me? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at His feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You love Jesus? Are we just going to sing about Him? Talk about Him? Learn how wonderful He is? Are we just going to hear about the glorious treasures that's laid up for the righteous and then do nothing to inherit it? Nothing at all to be heirs to it? Are we just going to let it slip by and then wish that we had a listen, that we had a, should have had a concern? Like the song we wrote, "You should have called on me." You can do what you want to. You say what you want to. You can be what you want to be. But one day it's for sure and certain, dear sinner, that you'll know that you should have called on me. So then if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, then you need to call upon the name of the Lord. And you need to get a vision. For God's sake, don't let tomorrow find you as today. And don't let the next service find you the way this one has found you, in the sense that you've not been doing anything for God. Don't let lethargy fill your life until you're not able anymore. You know, you're going to get feeble. You watch what I'm telling you. People that love God are not going to get feeble. God's going to take care of them. But you're going to get feeble, and you're going to wish that you could have done something for Christ. You're going to long then to do something for Christ, but you won't be able to. See? And the reason that you get in those kind of conditions to where you can't is because you don't want to do anything for Him. The Bible said, "He that considereth the cause of the poor, he shall dwell in the land." And the Bible said, "He verily he shall be fed. I'll make all of his beds in the time of his sickness." Do something for God. Do something for God. And as a result of that, your faith will skyrocket, or your faith will come up. And your faith will become a shield against the evils of Satan. And it'll become something that will draw all of the benefits to you. In that you'll find in doing that, You'll find in doing that that your faith will give you the desires of your heart, and seeking the kingdom, all those things will be added. You know, Brother Terrell made the statement, Brother Lamar Couch being up to visit with us, a lot of things taking place, a lot of things. But he said, I heard your program on Big Guns that's coming up, and I heard Brother Terrell, oh, that program up there, Sister Bonnie, and a different one. And said, you know, Brother Terrell was talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And somebody told me that they heard him the other day. He said, Brother Terrell said, the only thing that's left is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why are people saying that? Because it's true. I told you that everything else would go down. There was one star, the star of his preeminence. Even Lexington, Kentucky, of that which is 22,000 miles above the earth, the satellite, even that has something there that we need to know about in a similarity. I want you to lift your hands with me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think, folks. I want you to think. Ask the Lord to help you. You know, if Kenny could be here, if Ricky Gunnell could be here, if Carson could be here, young men, if Brother Bob could be here, if Brother Junior McKellum's son could be here, if the number of others that's passed off of the scene, Sister McKellar, if she could be here, some of the others, or if Dad could be here tonight, and some of your relatives that's passed on, if they could be here tonight after seeing, understanding, and knowing something concerning the spiritual world, oh, they'd tell you tonight, they'd say, folks, do something. Don't do the way I've done if it's the wrong kind of people that's passed off of the scene. Don't neglect God. And even them that had worked for God, they'd say, I wish I'd have done more. Do more, folks. Folks, listen at me tonight. I know I'm just a preacher, but I'm trying to help you. Listen at me tonight. Don't lose your vision for Jesus. As they sing over in the islands, don't lose your vision for Jesus. Don't lose your vision. That's when you grumble. That's when you find fault. That's when you feel hostile. That's when you feel people have mistreated you. And you feel that folks haven't done you right. And you feel like your neighbor's against you. And you feel like everything's wrong because you start listening to your carnal reasoning. When it's not that way at all, God's people isn't that way. How could they be that way and go to heaven? They couldn't be that way. See, it means that we've got on the wrong telephone, as we say. We've got on the wrong line. We're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the wrong mind. It couldn't be that way. If that is true, that people are against us like that and the children of God, then that means that the Lord has shed his blood in vain. And that means heaven will be filled with corruption. It means all of the Word of God is not true. It's got to be us when things like that happen. It's got to be us. We need to get away from that. We shouldn't even be alive in that world. We shouldn't even consider those kind of things. We shouldn't consider those kind of things. Because we're the ones that, as Dad used to say, make our beds hard. We're the ones that's got to lay on it. Don't blame somebody else. That's so foolish, folks. Wake up and realize it's you. If you don't have anything to eat, it's you. If you don't have anything to wear, it's you. If people are causing you problems, it's because of you. Don't you understand? Somebody said, well, look at Jesus. Look what was done to Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. The Bible said Jesus was made sin. That's why God smote him. That's why God let the things happen. It's because he was made sin. That was the purpose of it, so that you wouldn't have to have that. So see, like Job. Job said, I've sinned. Somebody said it happened to Job. Job said, I've sinned. See, there's a reason, folks. There's got to be a reason. And that reason is because of you. So I ask you in the name of the Lord tonight, don't, for Christ's sake, don't listen to that voice. Don't lose your vision. Get in and let's do something. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Rebuke your brother if he trespass against you. Rebuke your sister. If they repent, forgive them. Don't be hostile and carry those things around in your heart. Don't mock people and make a joke of the truth. See your little babies taken out of your arms and crushed and killed because of foolishness. Or you wind up with cancer or some horrible situation. Poverty, go hungry. The things you love and appreciate, your homes and cars and whatever taken out from under you. And you're tormented all the day long and vexed by evil spirits and can't have any peace, and insanity takes your mind. Don't do those kind of things. Don't interfere with something God has ordained and God has blessed and God warned you not to touch. Don't do that. You'll be so sorry. It'll all look right because there's a way that seemeth right unto man. But at the end, it's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. While you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother David Durden to come up here and ask David Durden to pray with me. David is really trying to help me. David has took an office with us and helping us to keep the buildings up in the sense of the maintenance when it comes to the interior decorating and the painting and whatever. And he's really trying, and he's already doing some things. He's really zealous for God. See, again, the youth is stepping in. Don't lose your vision for God. Hold fast, let somebody take your crown. Be there every day. Do something. You know, every day for God. If you don't get to your office, make some plans at home. Outline something. Keep your mind on a vision for God. World, you say, well, Brother Pike, I just ain't got that much to do. How in the world can you say that when there's 4 billion people to be evangelized? You know you can't say that. There's so much to do, you'll never get it done. You wives, get in there and help. Work together. Get some records. Keep that thing straight. Okay?